time for the In the Conversation podcast with funny man Damian Lemon and the voice of your choice, Ali Muhammad.
Yeah, this is Damian Lemon.
This is Ali Muhammad.
And this is In the Conversation,
the podcast.
Yes, yes. Back, Black History. Yeah. You know? A little staccato flow.
Yeah, I thought you was about to hit him with a new tag. Back, Black, Bold on your ass. You know what I'm like? You're going in a new direction.
You know? In the conversation, motherfucker. Nah, it was what it was, man. Nah, I was trying my spacing. But, you know, it is what it is. What's good with you, man? How you feeling?
Man, I'm feeling black. I'm feeling good. You know what I'm saying? You know, fresh off the blackest Super Bowl ever, you know. Shit, I feel good, you know. Feeling empowered and represented almost.
Feeling seen out there?
Feeling seen, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I hear that shit. We're going to talk about that shit. That shit was a black-ass Super Bowl. That shit felt like a tailgate / kickback with a Super Bowl in the background. Right. You know? Yeah. It was just having to show them stands. That shit looked like everybody in the world was in that motherfucker.
Right.
Like the place to be. Yeah, it was a good one. It was a good game. Yeah.
It was a good game. You know what I'm saying? It was the place to be. Them seats was expensive. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? And shit, I heard they was talking 13 for, you know, higher up, upper level seats.
13K.
Right.
That's crazy. Yeah, I saw a grid with a bunch of price points. Mm-hmm. That's bananas. That shit is not for the common man at all. Mm-hmm. You got to have a connect or a crypto wallet or something. Shit is expensive.
A corporate sponsor or something.
Yeah.
But Super Bowl always has been, you know, in culture, it's the Super Bowl as well. It's like, you know, you show up, and those that got it show all the way out, you know. You know, most of us make it to the parties, make it to the affairs, and, you know, saying probably a couple of, you know, private dinners or some shit, you know what I mean? And then there's those that make it to all that shit and enjoy the full festivities and the full scope of that sport culture, but also where it intersects with, you know, culture in general, especially on the black side of things. Mm. You know, like on the white side of things, you know, they having it too, and they got a lot of corporate, you know what I mean? But it's just a lively pilgrimage when the blacks come and surround the town that's representing the Super Bowl that year.
Yeah, I can see that. And it's funny how it is two different experiences.
Yeah.
What was your first Super Bowl? When was it? What was your first Super Bowl experience? And how was it for you?
You talking about as a hangout or the game itself?
As a hangout. If you've done the game too, you could talk about that. I've never been to an actual game. Go ahead.
My first Super Bowl was probably, I think it was 94 Miami.
Okay.
And that was, you know, I wasn't really on the scene all the way as far as like deep in the culture of the shit. I was on the scene in Miami. So it was just like a bunch of people came to town. You know, you know how you almost local then. It's like, oh, everybody coming out of town. They cleaned up the streets. You know what I'm saying? They shut down 15th Ave and Alibaba, right, the week leading up the Super Bowl. Like, these are notorious drug spots that have been, like, popping since I was born, before I was born. And all of a sudden, they was able to clean them up before the Super Bowl got there. So that was my
fast.
Yeah, like, real quick. So it let you know, like, you know what I'm saying, the war on drugs is like some bullshit because they shut that shit down real quick. But my first real Super Bowl hangout was 99 Miami, which I think it was the Falcons, the Dirty Bird year, you know.
Okay. Jamal Anderson, all that,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, it was a big cultural occasion. So, you know, I had my people come out, and this is where I kind of found my niche, my lane almost, you know. Uh-huh. And I didn't know I had this niche or lane. It was like, you know, my people came down, they was all, you know, they was all balling, and I was in a tight at that moment. In that particular point in life, I was like, you know, in flux. So we go to South Beach, hang out, and they like, yo, let's go to Puffy having a party. Let's go to Puffy party. You know what I mean? It was at Nikki Beach. And so, you know, we get there, and it's a private party. Like, it's an invite type of party, you know? Mm-hmm, and so they was like, nah, you know what I'm saying? Boom. Ain't no haps. And then I saw somebody I knew. Saw Keisha Walker, you know what I'm saying, who was a promoter then. She did corporate events, but she was doing promotions and all kind of stuff. So I don't know what Keisha had to do at the party, but she was coming towards the door like she had something to do with the party. So I was like, Keisha, what's up? What's good? And she was like, how many you got with you? And it was like 15 of us. I'm like, all these niggas, like all us. Then she was like, shit, I can't let all y'all in, but I let half y'all in, and hey, rest of y'all got to pay. And that's, you know what I'm saying? That's all they wanted to hear. You know what I'm saying?
Right. Still no, get access. Yeah,
niggas is going through in they sock, in they pockets, you know what I'm saying? That was when Gators was out. You know what I'm saying? Nigga pulling a knot out of his socks right by his Gators. And we rolled in. And it was, you know, everybody was in there. I think Flex was spinning. Puff was in there. We had a ball, you know what I'm saying? And them niggas had a ball. Like, they was taking pictures and shit. And that, but what stood out the most about that party was that that's when You Don't Know Now went national. You know what I'm saying? Because, you know, Super Bowl is a national audience. And the DJ played You Don't Know Now in that party. And it was already popping in Miami. But to see all these other niggas catch it for the first time, it was like, oh shit, this shit is a hit. Cause like niggas went crazy. Like New York niggas, everybody that was in there was going crazy. I'm like, oh shit, this a hit. You know? And then we leave out of there, and the rest of the weekend, the same kind of shit just happened the whole weekend. It's like somehow magically I knew somebody at the door. You know? And like them niggas thought I was some kind of magician. But in reality, I was broke as fuck. I had nothing in my pocket. You know what I'm saying? But I didn't know I had these connections, but I had these connections. And it was like, okay, we went everywhere we wanted to go. And shit, I moved to New York like right after that. So if Super Bowl late January, by April, I was in New York. And You Don't Know Now was playing in heavy rotation on Flex Show. You know what I'm saying? And he would, every time he play, he'd tell a story he heard it at the Super Bowl. And so that was crazy. Like when I landed in New York, Miami music was on the radio and on Hot 97. At the same time that JT Money, who was on the radio. So I'm like, damn, Miami, this must be the right spot. That was like a sign that I had made the right move.
Right.
So, but that was my first Super Bowl experience. And it was in Miami, so, you know, you had the beach, you got the water. So there's a whole lot of different kinds of elements that go along with, you know, that Super Bowl experience with that water and you know, women. It was live. And by that next year, I was on at Vibe, and we was doing our own Super Bowl parties in Atlanta. So that was my first time going to the game in Atlanta. So I think the Rams won that Super Bowl.
Yep.
2000. Yeah.
Beat the Titans.
Yeah. Yeah. So
St. Louis at that point.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's what that was. So what was yours?
It was funny because as you were saying that, I was thinking about it. You know, when you first said, you know, the Super Bowl, how much of a big thing it was for you and how you've seen so many people converge on the city and, you know, the culture of it all. I wasn't connected to none of that. Right. And then the reason I had to look it up as you was talking, first of all, Florida as a state has hosted 16 Super Bowls, and Miami as a city has hosted 11 of them. Right. New York has hosted one. So there's that. And then I think the closest I've ever gotten to a Super Bowl was the one you were just talking about, the 2000 one, because that was in Atlanta at the Georgia Dome. And it was just in the city. So I think that was the first time I really seen, like, what the Super Bowl events could be. Because I believe I might have went to a couple Super Bowl events or something like that. I can't even all the way remember. Mm-hmm. But that was like my first interaction with it. And then even when I was, like, at Vibe, I don't think I ever went to any of the Super Bowl events. I could be wrong, but I don't think I might have had a hand in planning from the office, but I don't think I ever went to the place, to the locations. I could be wrong, but I don't think I did. But, mm-hmm. Yeah, so it's been one of those things that I never really, my engagement has always been a party, you know, at the house type thing, you know, Super Bowl, watching it on hopefully some type of big screen TV with some wings or some pizza or something like that. Like, it was always kind of a at home celebration, you know, like a at home interaction with it. Yeah, I never got into it as far as a destination thing. As far as destination sports shit goes and culture, I think I got that through All-Star Weekend. Like, All-Star Weekend was kind of, and you know, that's coming up soon too, because that's Super Bowl. Weekend. Oh, wow. Ain't that so crazy? Yeah. So it's like that, you know, I think the Super Bowl is the one that kind of cracks it open. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Then it's All-Star, then there's Grammys, which I think got pushed back, but then, mm-hmm. you know, Oscars, if you want to include that, it's kind of becoming a part of the situation. But that mm-hmm. whole season of celebration and elites, you know what I mean? Like, that mm-hmm. was the thing. But yeah, All-Star Weekend was probably the first of those type of experiences. And if I'm not mistaken, I think my first All-Star Weekend was, I want to say that it was in 2001, I want to say. And I remember, you know, as you were talking about going to the Super Bowl, you know, being broke, mm-hmm. but still kind of having access.
Mm-hmm.
I know this, what was it, the 2001, I'm trying to what find city? Out if this was, it was D.C.
That was, listen.
Let me
tell
you.
That was a good one.
It was cold. That shit was a fish. Yeah, it was cold out there. Might have been, I don't think it snowed, but it was crisp out there.
It was cold. Yeah.
It was cold as fuck. But I remember I didn't have a job yet. You know what I mean? Like, I was looking for work. I was out of work, fresh out of college. And, you know, I'd been shit on the job hunt for a minute, you know, Nah, that wasn't connected. But around the same time, like, it was looking like certain jobs was going to happen and they were fronting and all of that shit. And I was starting to feel it. I was depressed. I was feeling like, damn, dog. Because people around me that had graduated with me, that shit started to move and they were popping and they were getting to it. And I was just on the couch waiting for calls. This is back in the day when I used to have to go to the library to send out resumes and make email shit. It was terrible. And something had me, my man Tone, Skeeter D, R.I.P., my man D, Kev, the four of us, maybe some more. We was like, yo, or maybe it was me, Tone, and D, because Kev might have been at Howard at the time. So that was where we was crashing, because, again, we had no money like that. And we put some money together on a rental and was just like, fuck it, we're going to go. I don't know how we were getting into these parties, but we got into a few parties. I think this was when Republic Gardens was crazy. Mm-hmm. I could just remember. I remember a few different things. I remember one party. It was Clark Kent DJing. And this is when Give It To Me, the Jay-Z record, had just come out. And mm-hmm. that motherfucker Clark Kent played that shit 10 times in a row. Mm-hmm. And that shit rocked every time. He was like, number 7. Niggas were like, oh, like getting crazy. That shit was bananas. I remember Nelly, Ja Rule, R. Kelly were all like chilling, like kind of in their little banquettes. And Clark Kent would play like their instrumental and then pass the mic. Nelly did his shit live Ja Rule did his shit live. R. Kelly did his shit live, sitting down in the banquette, sounding like the record. The shit was crazy. Mm-hmm. It was bananas. Like, it was just a movie. Motherfuckers was drinking recklessly. You know what I mean? Then one of my homies fell asleep in the club. He got that drunk. You know, it was one of those type of things. And what really capped the shit off, it was crazy. Ain't really had no money, but it took my mind away from, like, not, you know, not really being gainfully employed, you know. But I still eked out a good time, came back home. I think the next day, that Monday, I got a call from Maria Raha. Shout out to Maria Raha to get a job over at Vibe Spin Enterprises. And that's, a motherfucker was in the game.
That's so crazy because... I'm going to tell you why that's crazy. Because that was such a big NBA All-Star weekend for us. You know what I'm saying? At Vibe. Like, I had put together a whole lot of things that weekend. You know, shout out to Direct Impulse, Bobby Jones, and Kenny McAllister. We did a party with Biz. It was like we started late, so we didn't have, like, that prime time slot. So we was trying to figure out how we was going to work around getting our name out and getting our buzz out and our message out without having that prime time spot. So we did like an early joint, like a, you know, like one of them 5 to 10 joints, not necessarily a day party, but like an early evening party. You know what I mean?
Right. Right.
So that rocked, you know what I'm saying? But one of the things that, I did was, it was this concept we came up with called Vibe Spot Radio. And it was a reason for us to take over a city without having no location. So it was like it went a little something like, all right, you partner with the radio station. Hey, Kiss, what we want to do is bring all the artists that's in town to your station under Vibe Spot Radio for a 4-hour block. We bring in DJ Clue to spin, and we'll make a big event on the radio, you know what I'm saying? Just interviews back to back, you know what I mean? You, like I said, you had Clue spinning, then they had their DJ kind of co-hosting on the mic so he could do all the, you know, the mic checks and all that, what they need to do for business. And it was something that, it was like a Trojan horse type of thing where you come in real sneaky, but then for 4 hours straight, you're just banging your name, banging your corporate sponsors' names, banging, you know what I'm saying, your whole process. Right. And that shit was dope, man. Everybody, a lot of niggas came through. It was like, you know, Ja Rule, you know, Fab. You know, it was just a whole, now it sounds crazy you start naming them now. It's like all them old, like 2000, early 2000 cats, but you know what I'm saying? But that's when I met C Murder, you know what I mean? And that was like, damn, this a cool nigga. You know what I'm saying? He was just like, cool. And it's like, so we did that 4 hours, banged out probably like 20 something artists that came through. And then that night, it was the big thing at All-Star every year was the NBA Players Association party.
Right.
And we would sponsor that shit just to have somewhere to motherfucker, just to be there. You know what I'm saying? Because they was going to have the best talent. They was going to have the best spread. It was going to be the biggest party. And it was that year Snoop performed at that joint. But what was a real realization for me during that weekend, you know, I'm from Miami. Like, I'm only been in New York about 2 years now. It's only my second winter, you know. And so I realized, you know, I never knew how people die, like, of freezing to death. Like, that's a foreign concept to a Miami nigga. Like, freezing to death, like, how you freeze to death? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, you put on a coat, like, you know what I mean? We were standing in that line to get in that joint, and I ain't had no hat. Because, again, I ain't got no real winter wardrobe. I'm not really prepared, you know? And then I ain't got, like, my Parker with a hood on it, so I'm dressed for all-star partying. Not for, you know, not for outsideness. Yeah. So I'm in that line, and that wind was whipping across the back of my neck. Right there back in the back of my head, like where your brain meets your neck.
Right, right.
And it was at that moment I realized, oh, this how niggas die. of hyperthermia.
Like, die tonight.
I'm like, I got to get in this. I got to, like, if I stay out here another 30 minutes, I'm going to be dead. That's how cold then, it was.
And you're just going to be dead and in the way. Niggas ain't going to have no empathy.
They going to step right over you trying to get the Snoop. Man, I got in that party. I had to thaw out for about 15 minutes. Like, shit. Yeah. And nobody knew I was suffering. You know what I'm saying? It's like, right. It ain't like you can say, hey, man, I'm freezing to death over here. Like, you cold? Yeah, we going to be there in a minute. No, nigga, I'm freezing to death. Like, it's death.
Killing me. Right.
Like,
right,
I right. feel the back base of my brain freezing. This is no good. And I respect. That's why I wear a beanie now, nigga. I respect the cold now. Keep it on deck.
That was an initiation.
But that was a great All-Star weekend. And that's wild that, you know what I'm saying, you came on right after that weekend. That's dope.
Yeah. That was fire. That was a good
cuz you did the next one with us. Was it Tampa?
Philly
or Tampa?
Next one was Philly.
Tampa was Super Bowl. Philly All Star. Yep, that was a good one.
Yeah. Did I do that one? I know I was at the Atlanta joint. I might not have done Philly. I don't know if I went to Philly. Maybe I might. Some of them shits become a blur, you know. Yeah. But it was a moment. It's definitely the experience, you know.
In the black community, you know what I'm saying? Like, you know, the people that travel to these events, like, mm-hmm. a lot of people, you know, just look at, oh, that's a sports event, whatever, whatever. But it's a cultural event, especially All-Star, because mm-hmm. that one is a lot blacker than the Super Bowl weekend. And that's where you really get to test where you at in the black space. You know what I mean? Like, everybody going to come with their best fashion, you know what I'm saying? All the hustlers going to be, and they prime hustling mode, you know what I mean? All of every kind of, you know, social criminal will be in attendance, as well as all of your corporate people, you know what I'm saying? And you're just general sports friends. So it's like a collection of all of these people bringing their best game to one space in one city for 3-4 days. And it's where you really get to see the gravitas of black culture, you know, like if something hit like a style or a trend and you see it at these weekends, you really see it like, oh, that's black shit right there. like the year Beyonce had the Timberland stilettos.
Right. Right. Yeah. Yeah,
that All-Star weekend.
Them. Yeah. Yeah.
that's all you saw. You know what I'm saying? The Steve Madden version, the I don't know what brand that was, but the you know, the ones that she had, like, that became a whole trend based off of her just wearing that shit probably like a month before.
Yeah. Yeah. And that was kind of, since earlier though too, that was before the internet was so impactful.
Yeah. Yeah,
you
know, that was
so. That's when you seen it, like, because shit was still regional back then,
right?
So it was like you would be hip to all of the shit that was whatever the host city was. Mm-hmm. You might hear some records that you never heard before, but you would also see what resonated overall. Like you said, like those kicks, they were hitting overall, or you know, like when the jerseys was going crazy, you seeing people. Yeah,
it's always something that win the weekend. You know what I mean? Like, oh yeah. That shit's like the real life explore page before the internet.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? That's how it is. That's, if you could imagine a real life explore page, that's black people at the NBA All-Star.
You know, so funny, I was just having a conversation today with a friend of mine, and I was saying that black culture is the original algorithm. You know what I mean? Like, you know, we talk about the algorithm as, you know, it's this technical thing and this thing that's being manipulated by, you know, these various social media platforms. But as far as the barometer goes, as far as what's driving the culture, as far as what's being manipulated, even if it's like, I got to comment on this, I got to speak on that, I got to have a take on that. Most of that shit is black culture. You know what I'm saying? And then it ripples out. You know, and it gives people the opportunity to make a name for themselves or, you know, capitalize in a certain way. And yeah, it kind of just hit me earlier today. So it's funny that you said that was the Real Life Explorer page, because it definitely was.
Yeah,
and still is.
Yeah, because you look how your Explorer page be looking. That's how it look. It's like, you know, the cars that you looking at. You know what I'm saying? The women you looking at. The clothes, all that. It's in real life. It's all on display. You know, and. You know, it's a good time. It's always, like, for me, it's always, like, I thrive energetically in those big event spaces like that. You know, a lot of people don't like big events, but, like, I come to life in big events as far as internally. Like, I feel comfortable. I feel good because the thing about big events and me is that when you walk amongst all your people, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's all us out there. You know what I'm saying? It feels good to still be received in the same way amongst a big crowd as you are in a small sample. You know what I'm saying? It lets you know, research-wise, that, you know what I'm saying, you are who you are. You know what I mean? You still receive the same way by your people as you are in other, you know what I'm saying, spaces. And that, you know what I'm saying, you don't have to prove it to yourself, but it feels good when it happens. You know what I'm saying?
Big ass reunion, nice sample size too.
Like a lot of these people you don't even know. It's just you amongst black people, and when you amongst black people, you still are received in the manner that you always are. You know what I'm saying? I think, you know, and I don't know too much about science and biology, but like when they talk about the pineal gland being the third eye, and you know this thing that glows, like when they say you glowing or you know what I'm saying, you shining. You know what I'm saying? Some people theorize that they're talking about what the pineal gland is doing, right? And my own little observation and, you know, my theory in my own little laboratory is that it's hard to, like, if you don't put your pineal gland to work, it doesn't get to shine, right? It dries out, right? And it feels like when you're not in it, in the mix, that you don't get to exercise your light. And the only way you could really exercise your light is if someone is observing your light, because you can't even see your own light. You know what I'm saying? You only know it's shining because of the observers. Like you walking through a crowd one way, people are receiving you on the other end by what they observe. And only way you could gauge where you at is off of them. It's like a mirror, you know? You can't see your own self until you look in the mirror. And that's when you're looking at your people and they receiving you the same way as you always receive. It's like, oh, yeah, I'm still me. Shit, I'm shining. You know what I'm saying? And I dig that.
I agree with that. The society of people being in the world. Mm-hmm. And it's funny, too. He said your pineal gland will dry up when you get ashy. And shit ain't working. Start atrophying. It look dead, like dead skin.
Right.
But you know, somebody was saying to me, they were like, you know, you can't really. It was kind of breaking down. Somebody saying they was breaking down the whole, you know, the concept of love yourself. They were like, yeah, you can love yourself, but you can't love yourself in a vacuum. You know, like you love by giving love and receiving love. Like it's a, you know, and not even always romantic love, but it's just. It's that back and forth. We are a species that, you know, is known to congregate. You know, that and that's like one of the biggest things, you know, one of the biggest effects of this whole pandemic that I think we'll see the effect on things for years to come. But, you know, just the isolation of it all, you know. And
They're trying to dry out your pineal gland so you could just go in the metaverse and think you're shining.
Yeah. You gotta oil your scalp on a Zoom.
It's like it don't like that's what I'm saying. Like even when you on
it's
social,
disconnected.
It's not the same connection. You know what I'm saying? You're not really feeling the energy. It's like, you know how they say plants and trees talk to each other through, you know what I'm saying, some whatever kind of network. You know, it's the same thing. Like you can't isolate the plants and then expect them to talk through the Zoom, they're not going to get the same energy. They're not going to share the same resources. They're not going to create that same, you know what I mean, electricity. And it's the, I feel like it's the same way when it's people and it's and you outside and you in it. You know what I mean? I ain't even active outside like that no more, you know? So, but just to even be amongst it sometimes, it's like, yeah, okay, yeah. You know, that we still here, this us, we doing our thing. You know what I'm saying? The kids is shining. You know what I mean? I'm shining. Everything good. I love it. I love to see it. You know what I mean? Everybody putting on, like, and you get to see, like, everybody on little personal style, not even just with clothes, just how people move, you know? Like, watching how the crowd move, like, different people, they got their own body language and how they move through the situation, and then you got yours, and all that shit is interesting to me. I don't know, like, I might be like a National Geographic ass nigga, but that shit be interesting to me.
No, I get it. I'm a people person, too. I'm real curious about people. And even in the way of, like, it doesn't even always have to be a big event. Like, a big event is helpful because it's such a large sample size. There's way more engagement just for the fact that the numbers are there. But, like, you know, there's a little quiet moments, too, like when you... you come across, just have like a, and it can be a very basic interaction. I know when I was in New Orleans and I went to it's one of them places that's like well known, I've been meaning to go to for a while. It was right across the street from my hotel. It'll come to me, this one little spot, but Mother's is a restaurant, and it's been like, it's been around forever and ever.
Oh, right, and across from the W.
Yeah, right across, I guess, like catacorder from the W. Yeah, because it's, yeah. So I'd always wanted to go there, but I never, you know, I never went there or whatever. And typically there'd be a line or whatever outside or whatever. But I guess due to COVID or whatever, it wasn't, you know, it wasn't as much traffic or whatever. So, and it was right there. And I went kind of like, at a, you know, just a real off time of the day. And I went in there and you could feel, it's a greasy spoon, right? But you could feel how homey it felt, like how invested the people that worked there were. You could feel like they, you know, they co-workers, but they moved as a family. You know what I mean? Like, it was an ease amongst them. You felt like you was in somebody's house a little bit, you know? And then so I'm asking the waitress, she's an older woman, I'm saying, so what do you like? And, you know, just the way that we, like, was talking about certain things, it wasn't anything special of a conversation, but it was just, the vibe felt good. It felt like you felt charged by being there. Like, you felt like, oh, okay, this was, yeah, I needed to be here. I'm glad I'm here. I'm enjoying it. I'm soaking this up. Like, sometimes you could go a place and you could just, you know, it's very like transactional. It's just very service based. Okay, I'll have the such and such, and you know what I mean. And you do, you know what I mean? A quiet. I don't know why I did that voice. I know it's, you know what I mean, non-cultural. But you know, like, you know, I have this, and you just kind of sit alone, and you know what I mean. You eat what you eat, and you look at your iPhone, or if we take it back, you look at your old big ass newspaper, and just be enraptured in your own moment of silence, like. I was open. I'm kicking it. I was there by myself having a good time. But, you know, like, when they check in on you, it's real, you know, like, real familiar and shit. Like, and not a way where it's, like, too much. But it was just chill. I left there not only feeling nourished on some food level, but, like, just spiritually, you know? And maybe it was just felt like, damn, you know, motherfucker ain't really been in the world. Like, that felt like the world.
Yeah. Yeah, man. Yeah. You know, they don't make that service like that everywhere. You know what I mean? New Orleans got it by the pound, you know. But a lot of other places, you know what I'm saying? It's hard to get a drink where it's like, you know, hey, baby, what you drinking? You know what I'm saying? That type of service, you know what I mean? Like, you know, like you say, even on the other end, it's very transactional. What are you having to drink? We got drinks. Mm-hmm. I mean, here's the menu. You know,
right,
it's like, yeah, damn, like, you know, jeez, you know, even
if you don't see it, we don't got it,
right?
Yeah, all right, thanks.
You know what I'm saying? Like, even this hotel where I'm staying, I done been here about 3 weeks. You know what I'm saying? And then, and over the last couple months, I done been at the same spot, you know, collectively 2 months, right? So it's most of these people you done seen, you know, quite a few times, you know what I mean, over that time. And sometimes you go sit down at the bar and the same people you just saw last night. Act like they ain't never even seen you before. You know what I'm saying? It's like, you know what I'm saying? But then there's always a couple that be like, Muhammad, you know what I'm saying? And that just changed the whole vibe of the whole place. You know what I'm saying? Like, you come back just for that. Just for, you know what I'm saying, people to know what you order. Like, yo, you want the, yeah, I do, you know? All right, got you, you know? But to, like, when you get that cold service, it make you want to switch places. Because it's almost like you investing time in a space you got to be here. Like, you want that shit to feel like your community almost. Like, man, shit. I live right upstairs.
Regular, yeah, local.
I like your boy, you know. Yeah. You know, some give you that stiff upper lip, like, here go the menu, what you want?
yeah, I don't like that.
Golly, I don't even want nothing.
You feel like Norm.
Right. Yeah. The other day, I went to get Merlot wash.
Okay. I was about to ask you about Merlot, actually. Yeah, What's going on?
Merlot doing good, man, you know.
Okay.
Actually, I hit a milestone with Merlot. It's a milestone. So, you know, I got it. And, you know, when I got it, the guy was like, you know, one thing is that, you know, I charged the AC. I put some Freon in it. But, you know, it ain't blowing cold. So you might want to get that checked. I'm like, ah, Lord. So the first time I went to get it checked, it was like, to really service that, you know, we got to take the whole dashboard out, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, oh, Lord. So that's like $600 just to look, to see what the problem is. So I deferred on that. So I got all the other stuff done, hoses, brakes, all of the mechanical stuff. And so now I was like, you know what? I got to get an oil change. So, hey, can y'all just, you know, check it out? Let me know what it's going to be so I could plan for it, you know what I'm saying? And so you know, he called me. He was like, you know, it didn't have no Freon in it. We put some Freon in it, blah, blah, blah. We recharged it, whoop, whoop, whoop. And that was that, the AC blowing cold, right? Now, you don't understand how excited I am about the Merlot blowing cold AC. You know what I'm saying? Because, like, that's a whole game changer, you know? Because... Mm-hmm. Because when you ain't got AC, you're subject to outside forces, you know what I'm saying? Because your windows, like, if it's cold, you good. You good the whole winter, you know what I'm saying? You good the early spring, late fall. Nigga, you come around that summer.
Yeah.
You got to roll with the windows down, which ain't no problem. Because you ain't really going too far, no, you know what I mean? But then one time this summer, the last summer just passed, I was down here and picked my cousin up and picked him up from the airport. And it was all good, you know what I'm saying? And then it started to rain, nigga.
Ah, shit.
So now it's 90 degrees and raining. So you can't roll the window down. So now the windows is fucked. Oh, it was a torturous.
Sweat box.
Torturous sweat box. You're pulling out the napkin to wipe the fog off the window. You turn on
the worst.
You turn on defroster. Defrost. That shit is blowing heat, nigga. Yeah. So now you triple hot. So now you rolling down the windows and you're getting rained on. It's like, oh no, nigga. This first chance I get, I'm getting this shit checked. So again, it's winter. And it was maybe 50 degrees, but, you know, when I turned it on and that shit is blowing cold, I'm like, yeah, nigga, it's a whole new ride.
Merlot turned into rosé. Froze, actually.
So I went to go get a washed.
Okay.
And my man who usually washed it wasn't there. You know what I'm saying? Wasn't there. The other wash that I usually go to, last time I went there, I caught the COVID. So they was on the suspect list. So I was like, You know what I'm saying? Damn. You know, when you start backtracking where you get where you got your COVID from.
Yeah.
I backtracked it. And then when I went in there, you know what I'm saying, they usually had a little food and a drink. And they only had one person. They only had one person working, and it looked kind of like, you know what I'm saying, you know, they need to, like, they need to tidy up a bit in here. What's going on? Where the employees at? So
right,
I was like, yo, y'all gotta get a menu. She was like, the kitchen closed today. I'm like, just today? And she offered no reason and just skedaddled off. I'm like, okay. So when I backtracked and double tracked, it was like, ah, they must have had a COVID outbreak in there.
Yeah.
So, you know, I went to my other man, but he was he must be off for the winter because he's just like a one man stand.
Right.
And then so I pulled up to this other spot, and these two spots in Buckhead. So, you know, the guy, he got a couple of Porsches in there, and you know, he got some exotics. And I pull up, and you know how when you pull up and you don't know the lay, like you don't know where to pull up at because they doing this in a parking lot. So yeah. I'm looking for some direction. I'm looking at them, making eye contact, like, yo, where you want me to pull it, you know? Mm-hmm. So the lady, she looking like I don't know what you want. And I'm like, damn. So then the dude, he was walking by. I thought he was walking up to me to figure out what I needed. And then so I was like, he started to walk by me. I stopped him. I was like, yo, where you want me to pull it? And his response was, I got a line. I'm like, what? Nobody asked you about your line? I say, where you want me to pull my car so I could wait for your little line? I was like, man, you know what? Man, I just rolled on off, man. I ride my shit dirty before I give you some money. And then I went on back to the spot where I caught the COVID.
I figure the COVID's gone by now, but go
ahead. Yeah, it's gone. You know, had me a nice drink and a shrimp and grits.
Oh wow, that's a hell of a spot too. at a car wash spot, yeah, that's kind of fly. That's some Atlanta shit.
Auto Bistro, nigga, on 14th Street.
That's Auto shit. Bistro. Yeah. Wow.
You pull up.
Wow.
It's like a little lounge.
That is some Atlanta ass shit, bro. I ain't gonna lie to you. That shit is fly though. That's a hell of a hybrid. Man, wow, that's a
great idea. Cause you know, waiting on the car wash is like waiting on a haircut in a crowded barbershop. You don't know how long it's gonna really take. You just there. Mm-hmm. So why not go in, have a meal, have a drink? You ain't even can worry about how long it take. Cause you know you got to order in. You know, what I'm saying, you eating good. And you having like a little drink, you know, and by the time you finish, they finish. You know what I'm saying? You belly full, you happy to tip a nigga after that. Like, man, here you go, man. You know what I'm saying? So I reunited with the Auto Bistro and got Merlot cleaned up, man. So it's feeling good.
Just fly.
Yeah.
I've never even thought about that. I still go to the spots where you watch your car get washed through the glass.
Right.
Like my car damn near in jail. You know what I mean? I'm just looking at this shit through the glass. Like,
on the window.
Hell yeah. I walk right with the car. I meet the car outside as soon as it's done. Are you all right? You know, one of them using there eating grits and chilling, ordering a drink. That shit sound fly.
Nah, it's a good look though. You know what I'm saying? Like, you wouldn't think those two go together because, like, every time I tell somebody, like, a car wash in a restaurant, nah, that shit is the magic. That shit's the magic bullet. Like, and, you know, and there's always, like, you know, some notables around. And mm-hmm. it's a cool little spot. You know what I'm saying? They do a good job. They take care. You know, they respect, you know what I'm saying, my type of ride. I guess my man ain't at the other spot. He ain't respect my shit. I don't think he understood, you know what I'm saying, what was going on.
And it's like a hand wash type situation probably.
Yeah, it's a hand wash, you know.
Yeah.
Hand wash, you know, they're going to try to upsell you on the wax and all that. But they do a good job. So
price
check
point
out.
is serious.
Yeah, it's competitive with everybody else. See, the thing is, they get you
It's competitive.
Food.
Okay. Yes, they get, okay. All right. Get, all right.
Like the spot where I usually go, his wash, his hand wash is 40, right?
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? Over there, the hand wash was 32. You know what I'm saying? So now you could get a good 32 and, you know, give them an $8 tip and be at 40. You know what I'm saying?
Got it.
Give them a $10 tip and be at 42. Nice. But see, where they get you is they know you're going to get a drink or you're going to get some food.
Because
the food's slamming. So you're going to go ahead and give them that other 40, man. And you know what I'm saying? Enjoy your day, man.
Yeah. There you go. Shout out to, what is it, Auto Bistro?
Yeah, Auto Bistro on 14th. Right before you get to Northside.
I got to ask about that, see if my people know about that. If not, I'm putting them on. It was something I spoke about that I didn't give a full shout out to. But I, if it comes back to me, I'll shout it out. Yeah, man, that's crazy. Yo, have you fuck with Wordle?
Nah, I've been seeing it. I don't know what the hell. I'm out the loop on that.
Yeah, I just did my first Wordle today. I was a little out the loop. Not even out the loop. I felt like I was kind of in the loop. I was in it. I knew about it before it got bought by the Times. But I was like, I didn't like the rollout. Like, my first encounters with it was just a lot of people posting their Wordle scores and shit like that. And it was just, it felt a little virtue signaling. You know what I mean? It felt like, look at me, I'm smart, whatever. And like, but it with no context, not like, hey, this is what this is, da 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 da. It was just like some if you know, you know type of shit, you know, in the crossword realm, which is interesting. So initially I was like, man, fuck Wordle. Not really fuck Wordle, but I was just like, I'll get to it when I get to it. And conversation got louder. I started, you know, seeing more people having their Wordle score, got acquired, all of that. And then just today, right before the pod, I was like, let me go ahead and check this shit out, you know. And it's in the vein of, I guess, it's not a crossword type of thing, but it's just like, it's like a guess the word, you know. Like, you get six guesses, and it's kind of like some Wheel of Fortune type shit, but you get six guesses. And it's, I forget how long each word is. I'm not sure if it changes each day, but each day is one puzzle. And I think that's even going to change. I think the puzzles are going to kind of be, there's going to be a couple each day or something like that. But like, so you type in a word, like if you was to do, you know, some Wheel of Fortune technique, R-S-T-L-N-E or whatever, right? Mm-hmm. And then it's like, it'll identify by color coding if the letter is in the word. So if it's a green, that means that that letter is in the word and it's in the right place. If it's like a orange, that means that the letter is in the word but in the wrong place. And then if it's gray, that means the letter's not in the word at all. And then you know, there's a timer on it, and you got a few chances, and if you get it, you know, it tells you how long it took, you know what I mean? How many iterations, because it goes to, like, you got six attempts, you know? And it's interesting, because I don't know how you get to the sixth attempt, because I guess if you put six actual words that are on the list, because you could put a word in on the list, and it might not be the word, but it's like a word that is within, you know, the list of words, so that would count as a go. I think it took me about three, maybe four, but it took a little bit of time, probably almost 7 minutes and a few guesses. But I got, this is my first Wordle, I got through it. I got that shit. And I could see how it's contagious. I could also see how washed I am because I'm excited about this type of shit. Like, you know what I mean? I was looking at a crossword puzzle not too long ago, too, and I was enjoying that shit, you know, because I'm like, you know, talking about your pineal gland. You know, you got to exercise your brain, some word games and shit like that. You know, as a kid, or when I was younger, I kind of looked at that shit as either something to do on an airplane, maybe, or, you know, just old people type shit. But, like, I'm kind of getting into it, and I like how it kind of stimulates this where you got to figure it out, you know? But, yeah, I suggest check out Wordle. You know, I'm not opposing it no more. I'm not with fuck Wordle to check out Wordle. This was the sponsor of today's podcast. Yeah.
I mean, Wordle. I just looked it up. It looked like people mad that New York Times has bought it and changed the that that your words aren't the same as your friends all the time.
That's fairly new, and I'm not even sure if that all the way has gone into effect. But there's also the part of it all, like, you know, it's like an indie artist getting signed by a major label. Like, because the guy that created, his name is Wardle. His last name is Wardle, and he created it. It was very independent. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? It was doing its own thing, and the Times bought it. And from what I understand, at least for now, it's going to still be free. It's not going to be behind a paywall. So you can still interact with it, you know, in the same way that you could have beforehand. But you know how it go when your favorite mixtape rapper goes mainstream. You're like, ah, it ain't going to be the same. This nigga got the machine behind him. You know what I mean? So it is what it is. But it's worth checking out. I wasn't early worded. Like, again, like I told you my stance on it. So I can't tell you what the experience was prior to the Times acquisition. Mm-hmm. But if y'all were Wordle warriors and you were to speak to it, you know what I mean? Let us know. Hit us in the comments.
Yeah, I've been hearing about it. I ain't never played it, but I ain't never been no crossword puzzle ass playing ass. Yeah. You know what I mean? Ain't no way. What's that other game that with the words, like, you know, swipe with
words
the
with friends?
What? Yeah, that one too. But, you know, it's just people that play all them games. I was like, nah, I just never was interested. Not that, you know, that means nothing.
Nah, I get it. I was typically not that type of cat either, but it was, you know, the hype was loud. I'm not going to lie. And shit, the free time is there. So I was like, let me go ahead and see what this is. And I might fuck around and do that shit tomorrow. That might be my thing. Tomorrow might be Wordle Wednesday for your boy. I don't think I'm ever going to be the one that's going to post their Wordle score. I think there's something obnoxious about that. I don't know. Maybe, you know, amongst friends and some shit. But I'm not going to Twitter to be like, look at me. That's what turned me off. So I can't be what I resented, you know.
Look at me. You know, the word look at me.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Shit, man.
Bird up.
Yeah, that was a nice transition.
It's just,
word up.
When you niggas say transition, it'd be like, okay, yeah, I'm supposed to transition. Like, what am I doing?
Nah, you got it. No, I just like, it just felt real transitional. Word up. We didn't even need to point out the transition. That's like when the rapper be like, get it? You're like, all right, nigga, I got it. It was slick, but until you told me to get it, now I'm like, all right.
Yeah. Ad lib.
Right. Message.
Word.
Anyway.
Man, I watched, Best Man for the first time in a long time. Happened to be on the TV. You know what I'm saying? And, you know how you got those movies that when it's on, you always watch it? I wouldn't have pegged Best Man to be that for me.
Right. Was it cable or was it TV? That means different. That's a big difference to me.
It must have been cable because I don't remember no commercials.
Okay, cool. Okay.
It was last night, so, you know, it was just on the TV. Yeah. And so, so it was like in the middle, like when you and when my man, what's his name? Ricky. What's Ricky's name?
Oh, Morris Chestnut.
When Morris Chestnut started reading the book, you know. Uh-huh. And everybody was so young, you know what I'm saying? Terrence Howard was so young. And then the TV in here in this hotel is set on, like, you know how you got the, like, the cinema look, and then you got, like, the flat TV kind of look? So it was set on like the flat, like, which kind of get weird because it looked like it's real close up on your skin or something. Like, it don't give you no diffusion or something. So it's like, oh, man, Terrence Howard was so young and this one is that young. And everybody was just looked totally different. And then when the bachelor party scene came and the strippers walked in, I'm like, oh, shit, that's Lyric Cross. You know what I'm saying?
And
Lyric is in the Black Man video at the end. You know what I'm saying? I love I love you, Black Man, to all my kings out there. You know what I'm saying? She the one end it. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, look at Lyric. You know what I'm saying? And then Regina Hall came in as the star stripper.
The cake.
You know what I'm saying? All skinny. Everybody was all organic. I was like, look at this.
Organic.
Yeah, organic strippers, man.
Right. Where it was about the, I got you. Yeah. It wasn't the Big Body Benz kit, the AMG kit and strippers.
Yeah, no spoiler kit on it, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, right.
You have all the add-ons, aftermarket add-ons.
Mm-hmm, right.
So I was like, man, this is all right. That was a good movie.
All these years later, it was all right. I fucked with it. Yeah,
no, I mean, you fucked with it back in the day, but you know what I'm saying? Like, again, I hadn't revisited it in a while. And again, I wouldn't have put it on my, if it's on TV, I'll watch it all the way through, mm-hmm. like a Menace or like a Five Heartbeats or Heat.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Right. Scarface, if it's on, I watch Scarface up until the point where, you know, he finna fall off. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So you watch it, you just watch all the come up. So if they already passed the come up, I don't continue watching it. You know what I'm saying?
Got it.
But if Scarface is in the early phase and the come up era, I'm going to watch that to the fall off, you know, shit like that, you know.
No, I get it. It was definitely, you know, the posse cut of beautiful blacks. Mm-hmm. It was like the Harlem Nights of well-moisturized black actors, you know what I mean? You know, that was it. That was the starting lineup. Everybody out there was shining.
Well moisturized.
You know what I'm saying? Good lotion.
Shining out here.
Good lotion. Yeah, that lotion was thick. A lot of viscosity. What was I going to say? Speaking of, you know, movies holding up, and Regina Hall, she's one third of the hosts for the Oscars. You know, yeah, her, Wanda Sykes, and Amy Schumer. Yeah,
shout out to Will Packer producing. You know what I'm saying?
Right. I meant to talk to you about that.
I know she's been in his camp, like, in different movies and stuff. And, you know, she wouldn't be an actress that you would normally associate with the Academy. You know what I'm saying? I would wonder how many Oscars she's probably been to just as an actress. You know what I'm saying?
Okay. Right.
So for her to be hosting, that's like a big deal. You know what I mean? That's like, you know, a win for the streets or the win for the culture. Like, you know,
right?
Like, we ain't even supposed to be here type shit. Ball so hard.
Yeah. She's been getting her props as of late, over a few years, you know, like that. Support the Girls movie, that indie movie, kind of put her in the, like, on different radar. But even beyond that, what I do like, because I've been on record saying this for a while, I like the grouping with her, Amy Schumer, and Wanda Sykes, because I do think Regina Hall's one of the funniest women in Hollywood. Like, you know, like, and it's like, it's not even, I mean, it's obviously intentional, but she's not somebody that is presented as a comedian. You know what I mean? Like, she does comedies and things like that. If she has range, she could do, you know, she could do anything from Paid in Full to Non-Perfect Strangers and shit like that. She's a hell of an actress.
Mm-hmm.
But when she, not only on screen, but when she's out there doing them little promo joints,
mm-hmm.
she's one of the funniest motherfuckers. There's this video when they were doing, speaking of Will Packer, they were doing, what's the Steve Harvey book again? Think Like a Man. Either Think Like a Man 1 or 2. And it was a press junket, and it's Kevin Hart, Terrence J, I think, Jerry Ferrara, her, and maybe somebody else. And like, she goes in on this bit that's a little wild, but her commitment to it, like, because she's like the only woman there, so kind of playing off the fact that she, I guess she just must be eye candy or might be there just to service men, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And like, leaning in on the servicing part, and like, she go in, like, go crazy. If you like, check that out, please look that up. That press junket, like, the shit that she do is off the chain. But that's what really caught my eye, besides the fact that she's fly. Mm-hmm. But, like, just comedic, like, comedy-wise, I was like, yo, she's hilarious. And she's funny to the motherfucker. Like, she's got a lot of little funny moments, you know? Like, you know, her little back and forth with Issa Rae. Like, they got a chemistry. It was funny. Mm-hmm. Or that little video she did when she turned 50. You know what I'm saying? Like, She's a beast. So it's going to be kind of cool because obviously Amy Schumer, Wanda Sykes, they're bona fide comedians, you know what I mean, known for being funny. I think a lot of people, to your point, but just in addition, I think a lot of people don't really see it coming. There's people mm-hmm. that's hip to it, but there's going to be a lot of people that are going to be exposed to her. In that context, I think it's going to be interesting to see where this takes her.
Yeah. That's like the Super Bowl of Hollywood. Like, you know.
Yeah.
I saw a piece where Mary J. was saying that, you know, nobody gets paid to perform for the Super Bowl.
Right.
But she was like, I wouldn't even ask for no, like, the exposure of Super Bowl, you know what I'm saying, puts you in the mix at a level that you can't just manufacture. You can't manufacture right. the biggest TV event in the world on any other platform, you know what I'm saying? So to have the opportunity to do it, especially, you know, the way they did it, was, you know, that was a good look. It's a good look for, you know, for all the artists involved, but also a good look for Black LA, you know? Just like right in the centerpiece of gentrification in Inglewood, it's like, you know, a representation, at least, you know, on at the surface of, you know, a LA that might not exist like that a whole lot mm-hmm. more longer. You know what I'm saying? So
right.
it's locked in. It's locked in to a space and time at the highest of levels, you know, you know, as they crip walked all over the all over the TV set.
That was the first thing Snoop said. He said, you know what I mean? He said, crip. I was like, oh, shit, this shit is all, they leaning in. They was trying, I see the little reports about, they show him hitting the blunt before he got, hey, motherfucker, Snoop Dogg, first of all.
I mean, first of all, Snoop Dogg been hitting the blunt. There's nothing
that
new.
That is what you get. That's fucking George Burns with his cigar.
Right.
You know what I mean? But like, you know, speaking of that, just that stadium being right there in Inglewood, like, it's crazy because my cousins, they live literally like stone's throw, like right there in that neighborhood. And when I saw that shit being built, I got scared for them. I was like, nigga, I hope y'all don't get displaced, you know what I'm saying? But I think they good. But you know, like, you know, it's sad that's the thought, like, right. when, you know, when fucking they build in the hood, that it has to come at the, you know, expense. It has to come, you know, at the expense of the community.
Right.
But hopefully it all works out. But speaking of that, real quick on some Mary shit. One, the fact that she even said that, and the fact that she's the queen of hip hop soul, like she's a legacy artist with a 20 plus year career and still sees the benefit of that platform and is like so grateful for that, says so much about, you know, I guess, the strength of that platform, but also the, you know, like the passion for what you do. Because out of everybody, and not even just her, but that was the first person I saw. But like, and I think it everybody felt it at the end of that performance. She looked so happy. Like, she looked, you know, because Mary could be, you know, Mary could keep a little scowl.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, like Monet. Mary, yeah, she could go Monet real fast on you. But like, she looked so happy in that moment, especially since everybody loved the fact, like, we like miserable Mary. You know what I'm saying? Like, when, so like, you know, when Mary joyful, sometimes they don't always embrace. But like, she looked like she had such a good time. Her, between her and then obviously motherfucking Anderson .Paak on the drums, you know, that nigga smile always is infectious. You know what I'm saying? You like, yo, this motherfucker always look like he having a great time. Mm-hmm. But I think all of them, you know, for it to be Dre, Snoop, you know, Eminem, Kendrick, obviously they of the tree, but like Dre, Snoop, N.W.A., you think about it, that's like gangster rap. Like, that's the real shit. And to be all of 50, all these many years later, they look like they were enjoying themselves. You know what I'm saying? Like, they were in the moment. They were having fun. You know, I mean, obviously, you know, it was different years later. You know what I'm saying? They was going in on 50. You know what I'm saying? But I like that he's kind of embraced the joke. You know what I mean? Or embraced the heckle. But, yeah, man, that shit was cool. I appreciate it. I liked it. I like that stage design. They say Dre spent $7 million on that.
Wow.
I don't know. $7 million.
I mean, he in the billions, so shit. I mean, close to the billions. Yeah, he gonna get all that back. I mean, I'm sure Pepsi
somehow
got him back. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
All that. The, I mean, I'm sure he didn't pull that seven out of his pocket.
Yeah, that's probably true. Because, you know, they don't get compensated by the league, but I'm sure he got somebody hit him with some paper. But they also say this was the highest performing, highest rated Super Bowl in like 5 years. So he definitely had something to do with that halftime show. For
halftime show plus the, the underdog-ass Bengals who, you know, getting at it for their first time. You know, they was going to tune in. If they were the one, they probably would have toasted Cincinnati up. So,
yeah,
you know, you can't underestimate all of the forces at play, you know.
Right.
L.A., first time in that big, you know, that old super high-tech stadium, you know. Yeah. And then Dre, Snoop, Mary, Eminem.
Kendrick.
50. Kendrick looks so little next to them. Like,
yeah, especially next to them other cats. Yeah, he definitely, you know, a little short.
Most rappers be short, you know what I'm saying? And and those, that group of rappers are anomaly. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like Dre tall, Snoop tall, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. 50 got some height on them, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like, and then you got Kendrick standing next to him. I'm like, damn, I didn't realize he was so short.
He was in the midst of a lot of tall cats.
Yeah.
Which, you know what I mean? Which is, he was secure, and you know what I mean, where he was at with it. And that shows the power of Kendrick. I tell you this, man. I'm ready for a Kendrick album, though. Like, let's get to it. I thought he was going to at least drop some type of single or something that, you know, like to kind of, you know, like use this shit to his benefit. But I guess he don't really need that. But I would like to hear some Kendrick shit. I hope it's coming sooner than later. You know, because his track record is A1, you
no
know.
Doubt.
And it's about that time. It's about that time.
Bear it up. Speaking about that time.
Let's talk about it. What's up?
Oh, I thought you had something.
You want to talk about white power? Which you're starting to call the Tommy Show, or we could transform and roll out. I don't know if you've been watching it.
I couldn't force myself to watch it yet.
Oh
man,
all right. Well, I ain't mad at you because I was watching. I was like, this shit here. I don't want to say it's. I'm leaning, but it's weird. I'm gonna give it that. This shit is weird. It's a lot of little things. Like, they are really throwing paint at the canvas with this one. He on some other shit. It's like he's like a grown-up Dennis the Menace. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know what's going on. If it's going to congeal, there's, you know, power's power. Power's doing its power shit. I guess we ain't going to really get into it this week because you ain't see it. I didn't see Euphoria this week either.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I got to watch that after. I'm going to probably watch that tonight. I got, you know, Super Bowl kind of, you know, monopolize a whole lot of situation.
No doubt.
But yeah. That's it. You got anything else you wanna chop it up about though before we get up out of here, or you good?
I'm good, man.
All right, well, shit. What it is. Let's transform and roll out. You know. As always, tell a friend to tell a friend.
And even an enemy.
To get in a conversation. We out.